All right, what we're going to do right now is we're going to watch two videos, and I want the kids down here so they can see them. It's both about the same guy, and it will be repeated, but each video he says something you need to hear. So, Nancy, go ahead and show those.
I remember my mom and dad fighting, and then that led to sitting in a courthouse, and I found out my family was getting a divorce, and that from that moment everything would be divided. That's when confusion was inserted into my life. To expedite that confusion, I went to a birthday party, and that's where my life was forever changed. I was in fourth grade, and it was just a regular boy birthday party. You know, I was expecting PlayStation games and, you know, hide and go seek or whatever you're supposed to do in a normal sleepover as a young child. And, you know, we did all of that, play basketball outside, and then it got late, and that's when I was raped and molested by several men. And I remember those older men, you know, holding me down and teaching my peers what to do. I remember after, you know, the men were finished with me, I went outside and physically hurting, emotionally hurting, not knowing where to go or who to go to. And if I went to somebody, what was I going to say? And if I told them, would they even believe me? I didn't think to tell my parents because I was so scared that somehow fingers would have been pointed at me. This must be my fault. So I buried it in the back of my brain, suppressed it in my soul, and hid it in my heart as I looked at the stars, crying, wondering why this happened. I ran to substance. I ran to alcohol, drugs, you know, relationships, popularity, being a bully, just anything I could do to take my mind off this situation. I would wake up in sweat and screaming of just that event replaying in my dreams. So I didn't see the older guys often, sometimes at basketball games and things like that. But my peers, I ended up having relationship with them from, you know, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. I was really twisted to the point where anything and everything went. Whatever drug, whatever drink, or whatever dude or girl. And so I found myself just trying to find anything and everything to satisfy the cry in my soul. I don't know if you would consider that, you know, bisexual, homosexual, not really sure what kind of label we could put on that other than desperate. I really didn't know if God was even real. I had a desire for him in a sense, but I didn't know how to find him. My family went to church for the Christmas service and the Easter Bunny service, but I didn't know much of Jesus. There was that question of, God, if you're real, why did this happen? When my mom invited me to go to an Eddie James concert, I remember sitting on the fourth row, and I was watching the people on stage sing and dance and give God all that they got. And they were like wearing leather pants and they loved God. They had snapback hats on and they were saved. And I was like, this is a really rad place. And when they were singing and giving God glory, I realized that it wasn't a performance, but it was something personal for them. And I just said this in my heart, God, if you did this for them, would you do it for me? And it was an unforgettable moment. I walked up to the altar and I didn't really know what to do or what to say. I just knew that I needed Jesus to do for me what I could not do for myself. And I lifted my hands and I lifted my heart, and it was like this love hit my life, and I began to snot and I began to cry, and I had a real encounter with Jesus. And that's when I started to fall in love with him. Eddie James came up to me after that church service where I had that moment with Jesus. And he said, I want to give you the opportunity to come on the road with me, to travel with me. He gave me 2 weeks to make a decision to go on the road. And it was through his ministry where I learned about the Lord. I don't even know if I was converted or completely saved before I went to be in full-time ministry. I went just to find out who the Lord was. And through finding him out, I fell in love with him. As I fell in love with him, he healed my heart and he started to restore my soul and mend my mind and literally love me back to life. I fell so in love with God that I fell out of love with the lifestyle I was living. I was able to forgive those that hurt me when I realized that they were hurt as well. When I realized that it was not personal, it was spiritual. You know, sometimes we like to get back at the people that got at us. It wasn't them trying to kill, steal, and destroy me. It was Satan. They were just as much victims as I was. And as much as I need God's mercy, they do too. It's the amazing thing about mercy when you put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I've been forgiven of a lot, so why would I want to hold forgiveness back from somebody else? Often we want people to come to us, come to our church service, come to our church conference, where Jesus went to them. Jesus sat with sinners. I think we need to constantly be in the face of people that are in the homosexual community. We need to place ourselves in position to love them, to serve them, to have conversation with them, to care for them, and to be Jesus to them without trying to change them, without trying to convert them, and just share the love of the Lord that would draw them to repentance. The gospel is offensive, but we don't have to be. If we just place ourselves in their lives and show how in love we are with the Lord, people will want Him.
Listen, my name is Kagan Wesley.
Mi nombre es Kagan Wesley.
I'm a 22-year-old dude that loves Jesus with all of my heart.
Soy un tipo de 22 años, amo a Jesús de todo corazón.
And I'd like to share my story with you.
Y me gustaría compartir mi historia con ustedes.
It's a story of how I used to be in darkness, but now I'm living as light.
Es una historia que antes estuve en tiniebla, ahora vivo en la luz.
Of how I was bound, but today I'm free.
De como antes estuve atado, pero ahora soy libre.
Of how I was once a victim, but now I'm a victor through Christ Jesus.
De como un día fui víctima, mas ahora soy vencedor a través de Cristo Jesús.
I'm a testimony.
Soy un testimonio.
That what the devil means for evil.
De lo que el diablo quiso para mal.
God will always turn it around for our good.
Dios siempre hace que eso se vire para el bien.
That our God is alive.
Que nuestro Dios está vivo.
When I was a little boy,
cuando era un niño pequeño,
my parents got a divorce.
Mis papás se divorciaron.
And it was when the spirit of confusion was inserted into my life.
Y fue cuando se insertó el espíritu de confusión en mi vida.
To expedite and to increase the spirit of confusion.
Para aumentar y acelerar el espíritu de confusión.
When I was 10 years old in fourth grade,
cuando tenía 10 años en el cuarto grado,
I went to a birthday party.
Fui a una fiesta de cumpleaños.
Expecting birthday cake, birthday balloons, and maybe PlayStation games.
Esperando un cake de cumpleaños, globo y quizás un juego PlayStation.
But at that birthday party,
pero en aquella fiesta de cumpleaños,
I was raped and molested by several men.
Me violaron y me abusaron varios hombres.
Sometime after that it happened, but with an older woman.
Y luego de un tiempo volvió a pasar, pero con una mujer mayor.
And I remember being a confused child just looking for love.
Y me acordaba que era un niño confundido buscando amor.
After the men were finished with me, I was physically hurting and emotionally hurting.
Cuando terminaron aquellos hombres conmigo, quedé físicamente dolido y doliendo.
I didn't know where to go.
No sabía a dónde ir.
Who to go to.
A quién ir.
And if I went to somebody, what was I going to say?
Y si alguien preguntara, ¿qué diría yo?
Will they believe me?
¿Me iban a creer?
Is this my fault?
¿Esto fue culpa mía?
Did I say something? Did I do something?
¿Dije algo? ¿Hice algo?
Why is this happening?
¿Por qué me pasó esto?
And to make a love story short,
y para hacer de una historia larga,
I was trying to find something to satisfy my soul.
Yo trataba de encontrar algo que para satisfacer mi alma.
I looked for it in the guy.
Lo busqué en un hombre.
I looked for it in the girl.
Lo busqué en una mujer.
I looked for it at the bottom of a bottle.
Lo busqué en una botella.
I tried to snort it up and smoke it up.
Yo traté de fumarlo y de olerlo.
And I was a high schooler.
Y estaba en la secundaria.
Living a bisexual lifestyle.
Viviendo un estilo de vida bisexual.
A drug addict.
Un drogadicto.
And hurting from the aftermath of molestation and rape.
Y estaba herido de las secuelas de la violación y del abuso.
And I remember, man.
Y me acuerdo entonces.
I laid in my bed one night.
Que una noche acostado en mi cama.
With no hope.
Sin esperanza.
With no people.
Sin nadie de.
And no places that were working.
Sin lugar a donde ir.
And I said, God.
Dije, Dios.
Are you real?
¿Eres real?
I've heard your preachers and they talk it but don't walk it.
Yo he escuchado tus predicadores, lo hablan pero no lo viven.
The Christians say you're big, but they don't treat you like you're big.
Los cristianos dicen que tú eres grande, pero
God,
no te tratan como eres grande. Eres real.
I think I'm atheist, but you're my only hope.
Yo creo que soy ateo, pero eres mi única esperanza.
So Jesus, if you're real,
entonces Jesús, si tú eres
can
real,
I smell you?
Déjame olerte.
Can I taste you?
Puedo gustarte.
Can I hear you?
Puedo escucharte.
Can I feel you?
Puedo sentirte.
Can I see you?
Puedo verte.
Somehow, Lord,
de alguna manera, Señor,
with my five senses,
con mis cinco sentidos,
will you encounter my life?
Tuvieras un encuentro con mi vida.
And to make a love story short,
y para hacer un largo relato,
my
corto,
mom forced me to come to an Eddie James concert.
Mi mamá me obligó a venir a un concierto de Eddie James.
And I saw the, I sat on the fourth row.
Me senté en la cuarta fila.
And I watched these people on platform.
Y yo miraba a estas personas en la plataforma.
Banging on the drums.
Que estaban tocando los tambores.
Shredding on the guitar.
Estaban en la guitarra.
Pop locking but not dropping it for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Haciendo de todo tipo de baile sin soltarlo del todo porque es para Jesucristo.
But beyond the show, the smoke and the lights in action.
Pero más allá del espectáculo y las luces y el humo y la acción.
I saw what they had.
Yo vi lo que ellos tenían.
And I knew I needed it.
Y sabía que yo lo necesitaba.
I watched that when they lifted their face and their affection to God, that it was real.
Yo veía cuando levantaban su
that it was raw.
Su rostro, que era
that
real,
it was genuine.
Que era genuino,
and it was authentic.
Y que era auténtico.
And I walked myself from the fourth row
y vine caminando desde la cuarta fila
to this side of the altar.
A este lado del altar.
You know, before salvation,
¿sabe, antes de la salvación,
I took one of the most powerful forces you and I have been given on this entire earth.
Yo tomé una de las fuerzas más poderosas que usted y yo hemos recibido.
And that is prayer.
Y es la oración.
And I would ask to a Santa Claus God,
y yo le pedía a un Dios Santa
to give
Claus
me a Mercedes,
que me diera un Mercedes,
and to buy me a Chihuahua,
que me comprara una
and
Chihuahua,
to fill in my walk-in closet,
y que me llenara el closet grande.
But that moment,
pero ese momento,
I realized,
yo me di cuenta,
that one conversation with our Creator,
que una conversación con el Creador,
can change our life forever.
Puede cambiar tu vida.
Hallelujah.
Para siempre.
And I lifted my hands and my heart.
Yo miré mis manos y mi corazón.
And I told God how much I needed Him.
Y le dije a Dios lo mucho que
and I ran out of words to pray.
Se me acabaron las palabras
and I just
de orar.
Started to say, Jesus,
solo empecé a decir,
Jesus,
Jesús,
Jesus, I need Thee,
Jesús,
Jesus.
Te necesito, Jesús.
And it was like this liquid love was dumped over my head.
Y fue como un amor líquido que se derramó sobre
tears
mi cabeza.
Tears came out of my eyes.
Y me salían lágrimas
snot
de los ojos.
Out of my nose.
Y mocos de
and
la nariz.
Demons out of my body.
Y los demonios salieron de mi cuerpo.
That morning, Jesus Christ set me free from homosexuality and from drug addiction.
Dios me liberó,
He healed my heart from the aftermath of molestation
Dios
and rape.
Sexualismo de drogadicción y sanó
and
mi
I
corazón.
Stand in front of you, 6.5 years sexually pure.
Y estoy aquí después de años de estar
6.5 years
puro.
I've been drug free.
6 años y medio sin drogas.
And for 6.5 years I've been burning in love with this man named Jesus Christ.
Y por 6 años y medio estoy quemado de amor.
Traveling the world. Traveling the world.
Viajando el mundo.
Preaching this glorious gospel of God.
Predicando este glorioso evangelio de Dios.
But my friend,
pero amigo,
when I peeled my face out of my snot and tears,
cuando levanté mi cara de las lágrimas
I was
y los
left
ojos,
with a choice.
Me quedé con una decisión.
God is a lover looking for a lover.
Dios es un amante que busca otro amante.
And that lover is you.
Y ese amante eres tú.
But love is a choice.
Pero el amor es una decisión.
Many are called.
Muchos son llamados.
Few are chosen.
Pocos escogidos.
The few that are chosen.
Pocos son escogidos.
Choose to be chosen.
Escoge ser escogido.
They choose to pray.
Y escoge orar.
They choose to fast.
Escoge ayunar.
They choose to read the word and worship.
Escoge leer la palabra y adorar.
And my friend.
Y amigo.
Beyond the shuck and buck.
Más allá del show y lo
and
que
the
se ve,
sweating and screaming.
Y de los gritos y el sudor.
And the deliverance and liberation.
Y la liberación.
I just fell in love with Jesus.
Solo me enamoré de Jesús.
I fell in love with him.
Yo me enamoré de él.
And out of love with that lifestyle.
Y me desarrollé
in love with him.
De ese estilo.
And out of love with the drug.
Me enamoré de él y me desenamoré de la droga.
And I was transformed in a moment.
Y fui transformado en un momento.
Jesus did for me.
Jesús hizo por mí.
In one moment.
En un momento.
What I've tried to do my entire lifetime.
Lo que yo traté de hacer por toda mi vida.
I was looking for God in the guy and the girl.
Buscaba a Dios en un hombre y una mujer.
I was looking for God in the purchase and in the places.
Buscaba a Dios en los lugares y en las cosas.
And nothing was working.
Pero nada me funcionaba.
I had to say, Lady Gaga.
Tuve que decir, Lady Gaga.
Shut up, I was not born this way.
Cállate, yo no nací así.
But I was born a son of the Most High God.
Nací
I was born to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to see thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here in Miami as it is in heaven.
Así como en el cielo.
Oh, hallelujah. My friend today,
amigo hoy,
the testimony of Jesus,
el testimonio de Jesús,
will be the spirit of prophecy,
será el espíritu de profecía,
which is a really cool way,
que es una manera bien chévere,
that the book of Revelation says,
que dice el libro de Apocalipsis,
what God did for me,
que lo que Dios hizo por mí,
setting me free from sin,
haciéndome libre del
he
pecado,
he can do for you,
lo puede hacer por
today,
ti,
today,
hoy,
in a minute,
en minuto,
what you've tried to do in your entire lifetime,
lo que has tratado de hacer en toda tu vida.
My friend, it is worth it all.
Amigo, vale la pena todo.
I charge you, my friends,
te digo, amigo,
to give your life,
dale tu vida,
as a living sacrifice,
como sacrificio vivo,
holy and acceptable to God,
agradable y santo,
because
a Dios,
it is simply your reasonable service.
Porque solo tu
it's
servicio
the only way
la única
to
manera
pay Jesus back for what he paid for you.
Para pagarle a Jesús por lo que él pagó por ti.
Don't conform to this world,
no te conformes a
but
este
be
mundo,
transformed
sino se transforma
by renewing your mind.
Al renovar la mente.
Why?
¿Por qué?
So you can prove the will of God.
Para que puedas comprobar la voluntad de Dios.
Can you lift your hands with me?
Puedes levantar tus manos conmigo.
Father, I thank you for every son and every daughter that's in this room.
Padre, te doy gracias por todo hijo e hija.
And today they belong to you.
Hoy ellos te pertenecen.
And you belong to them.
Tú le perteneces a ellos.
I pray, Spirit of Living God,
yo oro Espíritu del Dios vivo,
that you would hover over us.
Que estés sobre nosotros.
Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Porque donde está el Espíritu de Dios
and
hay
today,
libertad.
And today, lives are going to be liberated. Minds are going to be mended. Hearts are going to be healed. And souls are going to be satisfied by your love. Jesus, we need you. You're the only way. You're the only truth. You're the only life. So come and do for them what they cannot do for themselves in the matchless, mighty, beautiful, and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Now, don't sit there and tell me that you have to be bound. There's freedom in Christ. There's revival going on in the young kids all over the United States. Delaware needs to get on in that group. You kids here in the Lighthouse Church, you should already be there. Now, I hope that you can get on YouTube, and you, I forgot what the boy's name is, but Nancy can tell you, and get your kids to watch it. I thought it was very moving. I thought it had a lot of impact on me. Jesus is trying to reach the younger generation right now. I have to laugh every time I looked at him. I thought about Brett and his hairdo, but I thought, well, I like Brett's hairdo better. But you know, he's dressed the way the young kids are doing today. And I'm not going to tell you anything about his hair or his dress. I just know this young boy was radically changed. He got radically changed because he wanted to be radically changed. He didn't want to stay in the lifestyle he was in. He was hurting too bad. He wanted something better. So when you're sick and tired of your situation, you'll get something better as you cry out to Jesus. Father, I just thank you for this young man, and you are using him mightily to go throughout the world to tell the people you don't have to be in the lifestyle that he was in. I thank you, Father God, for the people here tonight that saw this video. I'm hoping, Father God, that they take it to others, show them. And Father God, I'm believing right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that your Holy Spirit, your angelic angels are walking to and fro throughout this building, touching lives. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to mark your calendars, and this will be in the bulletin again Sunday. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, will be in Dover on September the 13th. Okay? He's doing a All Cities World tour. And Sunday, there'll be his website's going to be on there, information in case you want to get into it and find out all the details of where he's going to be. But he'll be in Delaware, Dover, Delaware, on September 13th. Doesn't say where, it just says he'll be here. Now, I was reading today that revival has broken out in a prison, and I didn't write down what state it was. 39 inmates were baptized in one day. Some were in prison for rape, murder, assault with a deadly weapon, among other crimes. The people at the prison said that when they could wear, they took off their orange outfits, put on the white gowns for baptism, and they said when they come up out of the water and walked away, you could tell they were definitely changed. And the prisoners were really happy. So here, you aren't even in prison. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe you need to be thrown behind bars to get for God to get your attention. You're not even in prison yet. You still won't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. 24/7, you just want him when it's convenient. I'm really saying that because you really need to get this in your spirit. You need to understand what God is doing. We are in a new era, E-R-A. You know, I was thinking the other day that in 1977, when I was born again, it started in 1980, preaching the gospel. Kenneth Copeland and all them started at the same time. And, a lot of those people have died off. Or they've passed most of their ministry off onto their children. And so that era has passed. Now God is in a new era. And it's your younger generation that he wants to use. It's up to you. Remember what that boy said, many are called, but few are chosen. And you have to choose to answer that call. So it's up to you whether or not God's going to use you, but I have news for you. God has somebody else who can take your place if you soon don't get it together. We are at a very, very, very critical time in the church history. If you read Charisma Magazine, you read where that church started up, and what they do is they're the church of the cannabis, the marijuana, and when you walk in their door, they give you a joint that you can smoke. And it's a church where you can do anything you want to do and still go to heaven. Now, this is what church has gone to. What are you going to do about your walk with God? You're sitting there looking at me with big eyes, but you know what? If you don't get your work act together, you could be joining a church like that. Because the enemy will come at you and convince you that that is the truth. And that what we preach is false. This is where the church is at right now. We're in a really bad place. So I'm just encouraging each one of you to get yourselves together. Cry out to God. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and I was totally shocked because this person was always full of the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden they're walking in fear. They're going around to one church after another trying to find the moving of the Spirit again. And I just said and just shook my head in awe that I was hearing this out of a person who was totally full, so full of the Spirit that they would dance at the drop of a hat whenever the Spirit moved. And I found out that, but now they're walking in fear. And now they're saying, well, the church I was in where the Spirit moves isn't moving anymore, so I had to go to another church. And in this church, you are not mentioned Holy Spirit at all, period. And somebody came into the church and got caught up in the Spirit and started to dance. They went back and ushered her out of the church and told her not to come back to the church again. Do you see what's going on? These are elect people that I know that are being deceived. Don't sit here and think, be so smug and think you can't be deceived, because you can be. The enemy can come, and he's sly, and he can come in every door that's open, and he can pull you out of the will of the Father. Come on. What did I say about it? I didn't say nothing. Because if God doesn't convict and God doesn't show, then there's nothing I can do. Because they knew the truth, and the truth set them free, and now they're going into fear, so I would say that's bondage, wouldn't you? I'm telling you this because you could be the next victim. You know, anyone in here could be the next victim. He could come to you and convince you that you're not where you should be, you know, not in the right church. Come on, guys. I want you to. Do you think I don't fight that? I fight that every day. The devil comes at me and talks. Oh, did God really say? Are you really supposed to be doing? You know, and I have to fight this every day right now. So if he's fighting me, I know he's fighting you. And if he isn't, well, thank God that you're not really where you should be in the spirit. Because the devil's fighting every one of God's true anointed children right now. I get so many phone calls and emails of people just crying out because they don't know what to do next. And these are people who were teaching other people who knew what to do next. Come on, older generation. You might find yourself sitting along the side of the road and the younger generation taking over. And you guys have been sitting in the house of God under the anointing of God. You might find yourself sitting here and thinking, oh, I just got it made. Next thing you know, in comes new people and out you go. That's the way it's working right now. And a lot of churches who used to work in the spirit, walk in the spirit, talk about the spirit, now no longer say, don't mention this anymore, because it makes people upset and it confuses them. So, and then they leave. You don't mention the Holy Spirit. Isn't this the end time? Isn't this what the word would say? And it's really going on because I'm talking to people who are telling me this is what's going on in the churches right now. And when I ran across this young man's video, I got so excited I couldn't hardly stand myself. I said, thank God, God is raising somebody up who's been in a homosexual lifestyle. And like you said, Lady Gaga, I was not born this way. Amen. Come on. I just really have to warn you that this is out there and it can attack you if you're not careful. I don't like the word careful, if you're not watchful. You guys have anointings and you're strong and God wants to use you, but are you going to stay strong and are you going to keep your anointing? God said he's going to take mantles and give them to somebody else. So, God loves you, and we're going to talk about God's unrelenting love this evening. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. What's it say? Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. What I was excited about this young man, he said God took all them demons out of him right then and there. He didn't have to go to 50 demon sessions. God just cleaned him up right then and there. Amen. And didn't God say that's what he was going to do? He's been telling us for years that's what he's going to do. Bring in the world, take the devils right out of them, and then use them. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. What are we supposed to be? Be imitators of God. And walk in what? Love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Now, this is what God spoke to me as I was studying this. Minister love and peace to my people. That's what I am doing. I just had to warn you what was going on before I started, all right? Minister love and peace to my people. For peace is where I desire to take my church at this given time. It is mountain climbing time. Just like Moses, I want to take my chosen generation, and this is my chosen generation. You guys you've got to understand this. You are the ones that God is training to use right now. You are. If you weren't, I'd tell you you're wasting time to go on. All right? And this is my chosen generation. I want to take them to the mountaintop of total resurrection and love. It is in this mountaintop that my people will learn more of me and begin to understand and know that I am the true God of their salvation. Teach them of my love that brings a peace that passes all understanding. It is in love that perfect peace is manifested. It is in love that all prayers are fulfilled. It is in love that they shall see me in all of my fullness. It is perfect love that casts out all fear of the unknown. And I will be taking my people in the regions of the unknown. And from that vantage point, we will win one victory after another. He's taking us into that region of the unknown. And a lot of us sitting here tonight, we are in that place of the unknown. We've never been there before. We don't know what God is doing with us. We're just hanging on. Walking by faith like Abraham did, right? And, you know, and he'll eventually show us what he's doing. But right now he's testing our faith, letting us go through trials and tribulations to see how we're going to work in all this stuff. You know, he has to really press us hard right now to prove to him and us that we're not going to turn tail and run when the battle really gets strong. Because if you think the battle is strong right now, you just wait and see what's going to be coming down the road. It's going to get worse. But if you go into this place of perfect love and that place of perfect peace, you won't run nowhere but to Jesus. Let's talk this evening about God's unrelenting love. Unrelenting means undiminished in intensity or effort, unyielding, uncompromising, incapable of being changed or persuaded by arguments. To be unrelenting is to stick to a determined course. To stick to a determined course. So many people right now are not sticking to the course that God has placed your feet upon. You're running, you know, I'm talking about the church, are running to and fro looking for something you already have. Stop running to and fro looking for something you already have. Remember I told you, a pastor told me that one time, Barbara, you already have it. Why are you running around looking for it? So I'm telling you tonight, stop running and looking for it. You already have it. Now just let God increase what you have. Let him work with what you have. Okay? This is the wonderful description of the love of God. Our Father's love is absolutely unrelenting. Nothing can hinder or diminish his loving pursuit of both sinners and saints. And if each one of you wanted to be honest with yourself, you could say that God really does love you because you have really pulled some dumb stuff, right? But he keeps right on loving you, keeps right on dusting you off and say, come on, get up and keep on going, doesn't he? David expressed it this way in Psalm 139, 5, 7, and 8. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. See what David said? Wherever he's at, God is there. David is speaking of the great highs and lows we face in life. He is saying there are times when I am so blessed I feel lifted with joy. At other times I feel like I'm in a living hell, condemned and unworthy. Don't we feel like that? Come on. I mean, life is life and real is real. And you're going to go through real life experiences because you are not yet glorified. Amen. But no matter where I am, Lord, David keeps saying, but no matter where I am, Lord, no matter how blessed I feel or how low my condition is, you are there. I can't get away from your unrelenting love, and I can't chase it away. You never accept my arguments about how unworthy I am. How many of you are going to God, I'm so unworthy? And he says, shut up. Get off of that kick and come on and go on. Isn't that what he does? Come on. If he doesn't, yes, he does. The devil's trying to make you believe he doesn't. Even when I am disobedient. See what David said? Sinning against your truth. Taking your grace for granted. You never stop loving me. Your love for me is relentless. That fits us to a T, doesn't it? At one low point, David prayed, Lord, you seated my soul in a heavenly place. You gave me light to understand your word. You made it a lamp to guide my feet. But, we all have that but, right? I have fallen so low. I don't see how I can ever recover. I have made my bed in hell, and I deserve wrath and punishment. You are too high and holy to love me in this condition. How many of y'all have said all that to God? David, how many of us? I'm sorry. David had sinned grievously. This is the same man who enjoyed daily spiritual input from godly counselors. He was given revelations from God's word. Yet in spite of his many blessings and his devoted life, David utterly disobeyed God's law. We all know the history of David's sin. He lusted after another man's wife and impregnated her. Then he tried to cover up his sin by getting the husband drunk, hoping the man would sleep with his pregnant wife. When that failed, David murdered the husband. He connived to send the man into a hopeless battle, knowing he would die. How many of y'all have done that? You sin and then you try to cover it up in a dumb way. 2 Samuel 11:26. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Scripture said the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. God called David's actions a great evil. See, he thought he was getting away with it, but it displeased the Lord. And you might think you're getting away with something, but it displeases the Lord. And somewhere down the road, you're going to pay for it. I'm here to tell you, somewhere down the road, you're going to pay for it. Scripture says that the thing that David had done displeased, I'm sorry, I read that. And he sent the prophet Nathan to tell him. 2 Samuel 12:14. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You see what God was saying? You gave me a black name, David. See what he said there? Because of this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. There is your punishment, David. Your child's going to die. So we have a child that dies. Well, how come you did this, Lord? Why did you let this child? What did you do before you had that child? Think about it. Then the Lord disciplined David, saying he would suffer severe consequences. This is what Nathan prophesied in 2 Samuel 12:14. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. David prayed around the clock for his baby's health, but the child died. And David grieved deeply over the terrible things he had caused. Who caused them? David caused them himself. Yet in spite of David's sin, God kept pursuing him in love. God does love you, and if you're going to keep on sinning, he's going to punish you. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. When you're being punished, it has nothing to do with love. You know, the love leaving. It is love that punishes you. Let me put it that way. Because God, in his love, does not want to see us go straight to hell. while the world mocked this fallen man's faith. And that's what they're doing. They're watching each one. Do you know the world is watching each one of you that's sitting here tonight? They're going to see just, can you really walk the walk? You talk something really great, but can you really walk it? Are you really going to stay the course? Are you really going to make it to the end? You know how many times I've wanted to sit down, but I'm not going to give the devil that opportunity to laugh at me or at God. At God is who I'm concerned about. I'm going to stay this course. He can do whatever he wants to do. And I'm going to stay it to the very end. The Bible says, let no man steal your crown. Amen. While the world mocked this fallen man's faith, God gave David a token of his unrelenting love. Bathsheba was now David's wife, and she gave birth to another child. 2 Samuel 12:24. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him. See that? And he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, so he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And we all know about Solomon, how wonderful and great, how God blessed him continually. Solomon's birth and life were a blessing to David, one totally undeserved. How many of you are receiving blessings that you really don't deserve? How many of you are receiving the grace of God and you really don't deserve it? Come on. We can all say amen to that. Come on. Don't sit here so pious. We've all done things that are not right in the eyes of the Lord. But God's love for David never abated. Even in the hour of his greatest shame, he chased after David unrelentingly. Excuse me. We all know the things that David did because I've said it over. But he only sinned that sin one time. And I believe with all my heart, that's why God, he found such favor in God's eyes, because he was man said, I'm sorry, then go right back out and do this sin all over again. No, when David said he was sorry, he was truly sorry, and he never sinned that sin ever again. I didn't say he never sinned. I say he never sinned that sin ever again. This great man of faith who knew God loved him, he pretended one time like he was crazy, foamed at the mouth and everything else to get away from his enemies, did he not? If he has such faith, why didn't he just trust God to get him out of there? I just want you to think about this stuff, guys. You know? Let's consider the testimony of the Apostle Paul. As we read of Paul's life, we see a man bent on destroying God's church. That's how it starts out, right? Paul was like a madman in his hatred for Christians. He breathed out the threats of slaughter against everyone who followed Jesus. He sought the high priest's authorization to hunt down believers so he could charge into their homes and drag them off to prison. After he was converted, Paul testified that even during those hate-filled years, while he was full of prejudice, blindly slaughtering Christ's disciples, God loved him. We all have that little statement after we were converted, don't we? Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He said, in essence, even though I wasn't conscious of it, God was pursuing me. See, some of you guys are sitting here, you don't even know that God loves you so much that he's pursuing you. You should, because you've had enough teaching. I don't know if you just don't want to believe it so you can continue in your sin. Say, well, I just didn't understand. But that's not going to make it when you stand before the Father. He loves you. And he wants to set you as free just like he did that young man. He doesn't want you to wander around here bound up in chains, having the devil chase you all over the place. He doesn't want that. He said, in essence, even though I wasn't conscious of it, God was pursuing me. He kept coming after me in love until that day when he literally knocked me off my high horse. That was the unrelenting love of God. I know that God has tried to knock some of you off your high horse, but you just wrapped your legs around that horse and would not fall. You know, you need to unwrap your legs and you just need to let God knock you off your high horse and let him do to you what he needs to do so you can be a true child of God and quit this blaspheming God by saying, well, he just doesn't love me. He won't set me free. That is not true. That is not true. And when you stand before him on judgment day, you're not even going to be able to say those words because you won't be able to lie in the face of God. God loves us with an, I know he loves some of you guys. You can be glad he's God and I'm not, because I'd already have bopped you good. Come on. He's just showed you his grace and his grace and his grace and his grace and more grace and more grace. Through the years, Paul became increasingly convinced God would love him fervently to the end through all his highs and lows. Through the years, Paul became increasingly convinced God would love him fervently to the end through all his highs and his lows. Tonight, God really wants you guys to get it into your spirit that God is going to love you through your highs and your lows. He doesn't care what you're going through. His love never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's right there in the midst of every storm that you're going through. He loves you too much to let you die in your sin. He said in Romans 8:37, this is what Paul said, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, Paul said, no matter what you're going through, you're still a conqueror through Christ who loves us. For I am persuaded, this is Paul speaking, for I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wish everybody would believe that. I do wish you would believe that. I wish you would quit putting self-condemnation on yourself. I wish you'd tell the devil where he can go and just start praising the Father. But we always give space for the devil. We never give God the glory that he needs to get. We always keep acting like the devil's stronger than God is. And we need to stop that. If you're going to make it through this is what I'm hearing. If you're going to make it through this next battle, you're going to have to know that I love you. You're going to have to know that I'm there with you and I'm there for you and I will not forsake you. You're going to have to know this. Paul was declaring, now that I am God's, nothing can separate me from his love. No devil, no demon, no principality, no man, and no angel. Nothing can stop God from loving me. I want you to get that in your spirit. Nothing you can do can stop God from loving you. He might want to crack you up alongside the head, but you can't take his, you cannot make his love die, because God is a God of love. I believe that the majority of Christians find Paul's words impossible to believe. Whenever most of us sin and fail God, we lose all sense of the truth of his love for us. Then, when something bad happens to us, we think God is whipping me. We end up blaming every trouble, trial, sickness, and difficulty on God. In reality, we are saying God has stopped loving me because I have failed him. I don't know about you, but I know when I fail God, I say, God, please, your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You always love me. Please don't quit loving me. I'm so sorry. You know? If I thought God didn't love me, I'd die. I would have no reason to go on in life. Because he's the only one that loves me. You know, he's the only one that loves you. Come on. Really loves you. Man and woman's love is not God's love. Come on, guys. I have displeased him and he is angry with me. All right. In reality, we are saying God has stopped loving me because I have failed him. I have displeased him and he is angry with me. We suddenly stop comprehending God's unrelenting love for us. We forget that he is continually pursuing us at all times, no matter what our condition. Yet the truth is we can't face life and all its terrors and sorrows without holding fast to this truth. We have to be convinced of God's love for us. Do you understand that Satan literally hates even your very breath? He can't stand you. He gives you every desire of your heart because he hates you. And he knows if he gives you everything you want, he'll have you one day and he'll torment you. That's his job in life, is to get you to hell so he can torment you. Do you not understand this? There's not one loving bone in his body, if there is a bone in his body. There he has in his breath, I'll say. There's just no love in Satan at all. He's total hate. Total hate. But yet he comes with a sweet little voice and his sweet little gifts and entices and encourages these people to get out there and get into sin. Why? So he can cause you to have a heart attack and die. Then he has you where he wants you, takes you to hell, and he torments you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Come on. All right, I said, yet the truth is we can't face life and all its terrors and sorrows without holding fast to this truth. We have to be convinced of God's love for us. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So Paul says, the grace, the love, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. This verse is a summary of everything Paul has been teaching the Corinthians about God's love. This verse deals with three divine issues. 1, the grace of Christ. 2, the love of God. And 3, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Paul was praying that the Corinthians would lay hold of these truths. And I'm hoping that you lay hold of these truths tonight. This teaching isn't going the way I thought it would go because there's something in the atmosphere that's not good in this church tonight. But I'm going to give this anyhow because you need to have it in your spirit. Amen. We suddenly stop comprehending God's unrelenting love for us. We forget that he is, okay. My printer was printing 2 pages. I missed that one. I believe if we can also comprehend these three issues, we will never again doubt God's unrelenting love. What was the three issues? The grace of Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. I believe if we can also comprehend these three issues, we will never again doubt God's unrelenting love for us. Are you there yet? Yep, there I am. Sorry. John 16:26. In that day, you will ask in my name, and this is Jesus speaking, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. See this? Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Now he says, in that day you ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. In other words, he's not going to ask the Father to give you what you want. He says, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I hope that we'll look like him. Right now, I would say we would not look like him. You know what I'm saying? We would be mixed up and messed up because we don't understand how much God truly loves us. And therefore, we keep allowing Satan to take us down these side roads doing stupid things. This evening, we need to ask God to heal us of the wounds of rejection, abandonment, abuse, or mistreatment. We all have them. We need to ask God to heal us of the wounds of rejection, abandonment, abuse, or mistreatment. We all have them. This evening, ask God to let you know his love, his true agape love. Let you see the wonders of all that he has for you. Ask him to heal the memories preventing you from believing in his love. You know, it doesn't matter if you did not have loving parents. It doesn't matter if you didn't have a loving father, guys. He wasn't your father anyhow. God's your father. And God loved you, and that's where you were born. Why did he allow me to be hurt? You know, quit that. Everybody's been hurt. There's more people that have bad fathers than there are people that had good earthly fathers. But you don't see them out there doing stupid things, not all of them anyhow. You have to understand that there was a calling upon your life before you was ever put in your mother's womb, and the devil made sure you had a bad father so that you wouldn't fulfill your call, and you're doing just exactly that. You're letting him do what he wanted to do when he put you, whenever he touched you after you come out of your mother's womb. Now, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit? I could stand up here and moan and groan till I'm 100. With my life. Why did you allow this? But you know what? God is God. And somebody said to me when I was little going to school in a Baptist church, Jesus loves you. And you have to always remember that. And I guess I always remember that. Somebody told me that. I didn't see him. I didn't feel it. And he didn't come down from heaven and stand in front of me and say, don't you understand I love you? He didn't do that. A human being said to me one day as a little girl, Barbara, always remember Jesus loves you. And I had many occasions to draw on that because of all the hate that was thrown into my life. And so you can do the very same thing. You can either draw on the love of God or you can go ahead and let the enemy beat you to death with his hate. It's your choice, not mine and not God's, not Jesus. It's your choice where you stand. All right, I said, ask him to heal the memories preventing you from believing in his love. There is so much power in really knowing and experiencing God's love for yourself. I can't make you believe God loves you. I can't. You have to go before the Father and you have to experience it. Isn't that what that young man did? Through his snot and his tears? He had to make that choice to know, to ask God to show him that. Now, all right, so don't get dippy on God. If you really love me, God, give me this woman I've been lusting after. Now, come on. Quit that. God loves you. He hates the sin, but he loves you. How many of you know people, they're terrible sinners, but you still love them. It's the sin that you hate. And you should. You should not love sin. If you don't get this into your spirit, the enemy's going to take you out. I'm going to tell you right now. And I don't know about you, but I've been to hell. And I wouldn't want to spend even one second in hell. So why would you want to die and go there and never be able to get out, spend eternity in there? And you do know what's going on there. God has if you don't believe God has an unrelenting love, then there's something wrong up here, because why are you still alive today? God could have let you be taken out in your sin. But he's been working with you all these years trying to get you out of your sin and understand that he loves you, because he doesn't want you to die and go to hell. This is what he has been doing. Whether you understand it or not, this is what he has been doing. Are you young guys have been out there doing your junk with the devil all those years? Now, since you're converted, what do you think God's going to use you for? Not to go out there and tell them to keep on sinning. He's going to use you like he did that young man to get out there and tell the world, hey, there's a God who loves you. This is where I was, but this is where I am. And you can have the same God that I have. You can have the same love that I have. Are you going to be a leader that's going to teach people, the young people, how much God loves? Are you going to be a leader that's going to go out there in the dark side and teach people how to stay in the dark side? And God's telling me, you guys really don't understand his unrelenting love. He's just telling me that right now. He's saying that's why you go into these valleys all the time, is because you don't understand how much God loves you. And you keep giving into the wiles of the enemy. God's saying in your subconscious, the enemy's constantly throwing these things at you, how much that God doesn't really love you. And your subconscious then has that stored up in there, and you're starting to believe that God doesn't love you. And that's why you go through your trials and your tribulations, and that's not true. That is not true. You know, if you can stand the truth, God will speak the truth to you through somebody else, and that truth will set you free. Brother Brett called me last night about something, and we were going to pray. So he started this thing, we're going to go to heaven or go. He would start all this stuff, and I said, God, we're just going to flat talk to you. I was saying, Brett, shut up. I don't need to go there. We just went before the God, and I just want to talk to God. And he needs to give us some answers right now. And he did, didn't he? And I hope it didn't hurt your feelings. But, you know, sometimes I don't think we need to do all that before the Father. I think we need to be, with me, I'm just open and honest. I just say it like it is. You know, like I talk this way, I talk to God, I talk to everybody like that. This is the facts, God. Now, we need to know what you want to do with that, what you want us to do with these facts. I don't need to take you, you need to take me up to the 10th heaven or the 7th heaven or some other heaven. I'm right here in this earth, and I need you to tell me what we need to do. Plain and simple. So what are you going to do with it? With you get a bunch of unsaved people come into the house of God and you start praying them, then you do all this, you know, and it's not mumbo jumbo, but you do all this stuff, they're considered, what are they doing? You know, they're not going to understand that. All right, so whenever, you know, I went to college, and so when I started preaching, well, you learned all these big college words. When I started preaching, I realized one thing. You can't use college words to people in the house of God. I said, all right, God, now I have to come down to their level, and I have to talk so they can understand me. So I talked one way at work and another way in church. And you know, sometimes you go to, when I was younger, I'd go to churches, and I didn't understand a word they said. Because it was speech, going, given all these words they learned in you know, in Bible college. And you know what? I've got more people converted just being, while talking on their level than I did trying to show them how smart I was. I remember I worked out at the airbase for 9 months, and this one guy was going to college, and so everybody sort of was making fun. They were jealous because he was going to college and everything. And he came in and he used these great big words, and I was set to be working, you know, and these other guys, oh, there he is with his 50-cent college words. And I thought, these people were so jealous of this guy, but then he wasn't a poor guy because he was one of those perverted people too. But anyhow, you know, they made fun of him because he was out there trying to be important, you know, and let everybody know he knows more. And why do you do that? We're just human beings. I read the word and I don't hear God. I didn't ever hear Jesus say any of that. Did you? If you do it, you have a different Bible than I do. He just talked. Plain and simple. Why? Because he knew his Father loved him, and his Father sent him on down to earth for a mission, and he had to accomplish his mission. And he didn't have to show off for anybody. He just had to be Jesus. Come on. He knew the love that his Father had for him, and it was unrelenting. And he knew his Father was going to be with him even if he made a mistake. God wants you all to know that tonight. Because if you don't, then you're in the category where the blind lead the blind. They both fall in a ditch. Because if you don't know how much God loves you, you can't convince anybody else that he does. You really can't. I know my Father loves me. I know I'm the apple of his eye. And each one of you should know that too. Amen. Come on. I never realized I was my Father's favorite till I became 45. And my mother said, you were his first child, and he spoiled you rotten, but you couldn't have proved that to me. I got more spanking than any one of the kids in the family. But she said, he took you everywhere and showed you off. You were his daughter. And isn't that what God does to us? He just parades us all over the place, takes us to Satan. This is my son. This is my daughter. And he lets Satan know how much he loves us. So Satan, uh-huh. So you're the apple of God's eye. Well, I'm just going to see if I can't get you out of his eye. I'm going to torment you a little bit, and I'm going to try to make you believe that God doesn't love, your Father doesn't love you, then I'll have you. Don't let him do that. Your Heavenly Father loves you. I want everybody in here tonight, don't ever look at your mother, what your mother or your father did to you ever again. Like that young man said, they were messed up too. They were tormented too, so why should I not forgive them? Isn't that what he said? I never want you to look at your parents again, at what your parents did you or anybody else. I want you to know that your Father loves you. He has always loved you. He will always love you. It says whenever Jesus walked, when you die and you go to hell, Jesus walks the corridors of hell and cries over you because you didn't have to be there. There was too much love from God to keep you, that you should never have to go to hell. Tonight, so I said this evening we need to ask God to heal us of the wounds of rejection, abandonment, abuse, or mistreatment. And I want you to do that. And then I want you to ask God to let you know his love. To let you see the wonders of all that he has for you. Ask him to heal the memories preventing you from believing in his love. And what I would like for you to do tonight, I would like you to come to the altar. And with these things in your heart, I want you to allow God to touch you. And then while you're in his spirit realm, let him do all these things you just asked him. Your God is able to deliver you in 1 second from anything that the enemy has took a lifetime to place in you. I don't care if you're old, you're young, I don't care how many mistakes you made in life. God loves you and only you. That's the way God went to the cross for you and only you. And if the whole world would understand that, we would be a whole lot of people full of the love of God, carrying the anointing of God every place we go.